In the second installment of our decoding of Donnie Darko, we're going to talk about some of the other secret identities and roles of Donnie and Frank. We already presented them as the two beasts of Revelation 13, respectively, the Antichrist and False Prophet, and these other levels of symbolism support that layer in various ways. We're also going to talk about the meaningful numbering of the amount of time Donnie has from the moment Frank first announces it until the end of the world arrives. This video will involve spoilers, so spoiler alert. Find links below in the description to the playlist for the series, Donnie Darko, The Tale of a Spurious Timeline. If you haven't seen the first installment yet, we recommend doing so before continuing here, because we want you to have a sense of how weighty this is in this hour of the age.
Before diving in, a comment left on our first installment brought to light something I had forgotten about. Donnie is a nickname for Donald, which means world ruler. That supports the allegorical role of Donnie as a Christ figure and as the Antichrist. Donnie Darko, the dark lord of the world, Lucifer the dragon, and his Antichrist. Let's dig in. What's the deal with Frank? Why does this disturbing-looking character wear a bunny suit? This collection of diverse insights should bring the darker nature of this production into sharp focus. Our first observation deals with his wearing of a special costume. We regularly show examples where garments represent bodies that are fitted to a specific dimensional realm. This is biblical, and it's also found in other narratives that have an esoteric context. Frank's special costume outfits him for another dimension or timeline. Here's what the Salon.com article that we referenced in the first installment has to offer.
What's with the 6-foot-tall rabbit? Well, that's a good place to start as any. Frank is the boyfriend of Donnie's sister, Elizabeth. Frank himself never meets Donnie until their fateful encounter on Halloween Eve. The Frank who speaks to Donnie on the golf course and elsewhere is a kind of ghost Frank, a remnant of Frank who, because Donnie shoots him in the eye within the Tangent Universe's 28 days, can move freely in time throughout the Tangent Universe. Frank's purpose, for he's been chosen as surely as Donnie has, is to serve as Donnie's guide through the Tangent Universe, leading him toward clues and offering tasks that will smooth Donnie's way toward his goal. According to Roberta Sparrow's book, Frank is an example of the manipulated dead. Apparently, those who die within the confines of the Tangent Universe are given some level of knowledge of the catastrophe to come and serve, to some extent, as the Chosen One's guide. There seems to be some variation in the level of understanding given to the manipulated dead. Gretchen, for example, the other manipulated dead, seems to have an inkling that something terrible is going to happen, but clearly doesn't have the detailed comprehension Frank does. Nor does Gretchen's spirit appear to Donnie behind any kind of watery barrier. Nor does she dress up in a bunny suit. Yeah, what's up with that bunny suit? Donnie meets the real Frank, not his manipulated dead specter, for the first time on Halloween Eve, with Frank in costume. But it's also an allusion to Alice's adventures in Wonderland. Just as the White Rabbit leads Alice down the hole into her great adventure, so does Frank lead Donnie into his own. Rabbit imagery abounds in Donnie Darko, from a VW rabbit driving down the streets of Middlesex, to stuffed bunnies, to a photograph of toddler Maggie Gyllenhaal next to a kid in a rabbit suit, to, in the director's cut, an extended subplot revolving around Richard Adams' Rabbits in Peril novel, Watership Down.
The way we see it, the rabbits that are seen throughout the film are there to build the mystique, but also to resonate the character Frank, who is ever-present, ever-watching. But why is Frank's special garment body that of a bunny rabbit? Here's what's behind that, which also provides insight into the white rabbit Alice followed and into the esoteric allegory of Watership Down. The bunny rabbit, or hare, is an animal that's classically identified with the god Hermes to the Greeks or Mercury to the Romans. Is it starting to make sense? He is the messenger of the gods and the escort of the dead to the underworld. He has the special ability of being able to go down into the underworld and return back to the land of the living. If you think about it, the underworld is a classical kind of alternate universe. For another example where this bunny as Hermes symbol is leveraged, there's the TV show The Magicians. That fantasy series featured messenger bunnies who were used to pass messages between those in the magical world of Fillory, where time worked differently, and the magicians on Earth. Messenger bunnies, because Hermes. In Donnie Darko, when Frank appears to Donnie, the 6-foot-tall bunny is kind of like a ghost or specter, but he's also an angelic or god-like being. He manifests in ways that demonstrate his ability to navigate the timelines in his service as the messenger of the gods. Frank gives Donnie timely information that guides him on the path to successfully completing his appointed mission, and this information can only come from a source outside of time. For instance, from someone who knows the end from the beginning, like the omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent God, which would identify Frank with the Archangel Michael in such an allegory. Yet, Frank is more of an anti-Michael who works with Donnie Antichrist. So, the source of Frank's information is another kind of God who appears to be able to see into both the future and the past at the same time. By one name, it's Janus, and this is an identity that will become very obvious when the ritual layers of the beginning and ending scenes are decoded. Here's an esoteric feature that should speak loudly to some of you about the occult nature of Donnie Darko. Noted here as trivia on the IMDb site, Frank the Rabbit often appears near a water source. Sprinklers, water main, faucet. It seems obvious that the filmmakers made that a feature to leverage the water as time metaphor and water's frequent association with wormholes and stargates. Here's an observation that strengthens Frank's secret identity of Hermes. The god wields a rod known as the caduceus. It's a kind of magic wand that he uses to put people into or bring them out of a stupor or trance. The effect has been called eye-mazing. Although Frank is never seen with any kind of wand, he clearly demonstrates the same kind of power.
Frank makes his first appearance early on the 2nd of October, the day when the event that causes the timeline to skew happens at midnight. Donnie is apparently sleeping in his bed when he hears a voice in his head. Wake up.
Wake up.
Instead of actually waking up, Donnie gets out of bed and appears to be sleepwalking. He's up, but not really awake, because he's in the hypnotic trance state induced by Frank as Hermes, his classic eye-mazing routine. Donnie follows his hypnotist's direction.
I've been watching you.
Donnie's habit of sleepwalking seems to be used by the filmmakers for misdirection, as cover for Frank's ability to put him into the trance state, obfuscating his secret identity. Donnie goes through the kitchen and grabs the marker off the fridge as he walks by, which he's going to need to make a record of his experience. A record that will bear witness to him that the experience was more than just a dream he had while sleepwalking. On reaching the nearby golf course, while still in a trance, Donnie sees Frank, Hermes.
28 days. 6 hours. 42 minutes. 12 seconds. That is when the world will end.
Why?
Donnie sees Frank standing behind the sand trap. Think about this on the esoteric level as a trap in the sands of time, which makes sense on the line of the insurance trap from Roberta Sparrow's fictional book, The Philosophy of Time Travel.
Frank and Donnie have a special relationship that should speak loudly to you about the secret identities of both characters. Donnie is what's called the living receiver in The Philosophy of Time Travel. He's the key player, but he cannot succeed without help. Frank is specially appointed to help him fulfill his mission. Many years ago, I learned a valuable lesson from my studies of symbolism about this relationship, where it's Mercury or Hermes who facilitates the agency of Apollo or Horus. Frank facilitates Donnie like Hermes facilitates Horus and Mercury facilitates Apollo. This is the model of the partnering relationship between the two beasts of Revelation 13, and this is a major undercurrent throughout the film. Although Frank is playing Hermes, he's not the only character in the role. Donnie sees a therapist who uses hypnotherapy. When she puts Donnie into a hypnotic trance and later brings him out of it, this evokes the use of the amazing wand of Hermes. Between his therapist and Frank's regular induction of Donnie into the trance state, this illustrates how susceptible Donnie is and how easily manipulated he is by this mind control technique. We'll talk more about this layer of symbolism in a moment. If we consider why the film features a Halloween party, we find levels where Frank's bunny rabbit costume and Donnie's skeleton costume make perfect sense.
When it comes to the matter of crossing over from one dimension to another, there's one particular time of the year that's claimed to be the easiest. Pagans believe that the barrier, or veil between this world and what lies beyond, is the most thin and therefore the most easily breached at Halloween, which is linked to Samhain. Ghosts were said to gather around Samhain, and some identify Frank as a ghost or specter. Frank wears the bunny suit as a Halloween costume. Connect the dots. Frank manifests like a ghost while wearing a costume that identifies him with the very time when ghosts were said to gather. This Halloween costume is the same bunny rabbit suit that identifies him with the god who crosses over between the realms. Think about that for a moment. These observations highlight the kind of layering that is a familiar hallmark of occult productions. This is common to works produced by theurgists for the performance of magic rituals.
Reading from the Wikipedia page for Samhain, the early literature says Samhain was marked by great gatherings and feasts, and was when the ancient burial mounds were open, which were seen as portals to the other world. Some of the literature also associates Samhain with bonfires and sacrifices. In this light, when the movie features a big Halloween party as the energy builds towards its climax, it's in the tradition of Samhain, which was marked by great gatherings and feasts. Samhain was associated with sacrifices, and this starts to become a factor when two thugs jump Donnie and his girlfriend in the cellar of Grandma Death, holding knives to their throats. When Frank arrives on the scene in his car, he kills Donnie's girlfriend, Gretchen, after swerving to avoid Grandma Death. Donnie responds by killing Frank. They are the sacrifices for Samhain.
Samhain was when the ancient burial mounds were open, which were seen as portals to the other world. Donnie leaves Frank's dead body lying on the ground and loads up his dead girlfriend's body into the car, sitting her up in the passenger seat, which evokes Samhain as that time when the burial mounds were open. With those open burial mounds representing portals to the other world, the black hole vortex through which the jet engine passes between the worlds had already begun to open up. Donnie had become ready to use the opening portal through time to save the world by unwinding time back and returning the artifact to ensure that only a singular timeline would exist. He had become ready to offer himself as the Samhain sacrifice.
With regard to the practices of Samhain celebrating pagans, what's known as hedge witchery begs mention here. The hedge of hedge witchery refers to the barrier that separates this world from the other world. Hedge witches cross over the hedge and return back again. Hedge witches traditionally use flying ointments that are specialized entheogenic preparations. They apply these to put themselves into a trance state. They leave their unconscious physical bodies behind, projecting their conscious astral bodies elsewhere in the astral plane. They typically gather for the purpose of conducting rituals. In Donnie Darko, Frank can be considered as kind of a hedge witch. There are also occasions where Donnie, the living receiver, together with all the so-called manipulated dead and manipulated living characters, could also be considered on this level, where they project their consciousnesses through time and space in the astral plane. As mentioned earlier, Donnie is susceptible to being hypnotized, a widely known mind control technique. This is the key to recognizing another notable theme of the film, where it's modeling the kind of mind control programming known as Monarch, MKUltra, Illuminati, and all that is trauma-based and sodomy-based. Programmers and handlers use various techniques to put the subject into a deep hypnotic trance state, because this is when they can be programmed. The victims or slaves are programmed with multiple identities or alters. In this context, Frank plays the role of his handler or programmer, and it makes sense that Frank wears a mask. Today, most or perhaps all programmers and handlers are themselves programmed slaves. During programming, multiple identities or alters are created, and the identities are dissociative. As a mask hides an individual's real identity behind another, Frank's mask provides a metaphor for the way a person is hidden behind an alter.
One of the primary reasons why slaves called multiples or chosen ones are programmed is to discover, develop, and access the special abilities that an individual may possess. These abilities aren't natural, but rather supernatural, and the beings in the spiritual realm known as demons or devil spirits are responsible for the powers. These demonically enabled abilities are referred to as psi powers, like psychic powers. Psi powers aren't imaginary or fictitious, even though they're commonly presented that way in fictional works. In the film Donnie Darko, Donnie has superpowers. In a clip where Donnie and Gretchen are starting to get to know each other, she says, "Donnie Darko, what the hell kind of name is that? It's like some sort of superhero or something." Donnie gives her a look and replies, "What makes you think I'm not?" Richard Kelly, writer and director, explains on the DVD commentary that it was Donnie who caused the jet engine to be torn off the airliner through telekinesis. That's the ability to manipulate physical things with the mind, a psi power. Donnie tells his therapist while under hypnosis, "I have the power to build a time machine." He later demonstrates his ability to unwind time back to a moment of his choosing. Again, it's a psi power, one of Donnie's superpowers.
Donnie Darko really is, as Gretchen said, his name suggested, some sort of superhero. There's a subtle Easter egg kind of reference here to the first Superman movie. When Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, died in an accident, he flew around so quickly that he unwound the world, turning back time far enough to where he could save Lois Lane. When Donnie Darko's girlfriend Gretchen dies in an accident, Donnie turns back time far enough to where he can save her. Donnie Darko, superhero. Whenever we recognize an Easter egg in an occult production, we've identified an energy conduit. The energy raised by one production is shared with the other, and they resonate together more powerfully for the harvesting of energy and the rituals being performed in both. In the Illuminati mind control programming layer of allegory, Donnie Darko is a slave who's been developed with the ultimate psi powers. Frank is his handler, who's been assigned to Donnie because of his own special psi powers. Frank influences Donnie's behavior through hypnotic trance induction while capably functioning as an interloper in that alternate timeline in his astral body. Donnie is seen as an emotionally troubled young man, but like with many other shows, crazy is the cover for being under mind control. The crazy ones are out of their minds in the way of having dissociative identities.
In this real world of ours, time travel and manipulation are things that programmers and slaves are widely reported to be involved in. We became convinced through our studies of biblical and historical records, and from our decoding of media productions, that programmed slaves will use their psi powers one day in a hive mind that is networked with the beast. This is how the Great Pyramid Network will be made operational in a last-ditch effort to counter and defeat the forces of the Sovereign Lord, as described in Revelation 19:19. Here's another esoteric feature that supports the underlying occult rituals. The meaningfully numbered amount of time Donnie has from the moment Frank first announces it until the end of the world arrives. We see two reasons for this numbering. One has to do with the sum of the digits adding up to the meaningful number 88. The other reason is actually related to that code number. We're going to get into that first.
Again, noted on the IMDb site as trivia, Frank says the world will end in 28 days, 6 hours, 42 minutes, 12 seconds. That figure comes from adding or subtracting 1 from each part of the figure. 27 days, 7 hours, 43 minutes, 11 seconds, which is the precise length of one lunar month by one of the less used definitions, sidereal instead of the usual synodic. And you can see that on this Wikipedia page. So the countdown numbers were increased over the moons by 1 for the outer units, days and seconds, and decreased by 1 for the inner units, hours and minutes. The first hint of a connection between the countdown time and the moon is the 28 days, which is known to be the average length of a woman's menstrual period. How so? The word menstrual meant the lunar cycle, but it's come to refer to the woman's fertility cycle because, yeah, they're very close. For what reason might the filmmaker have chosen to connect the amount of time left before the world ends to the lunar cycle and to conceal that connection by altering it with a formula? As we explore what the Bible has to say about the moon, we're informed about what must be the filmmaker's magical intentions. Genesis 1:14-16, and God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. The moon is the celestial body that marks off the months on a lunar calendar. The Lord's calendar, which is the Creator's calendar, is a lunar calendar. When Frank, the creepy bunny rabbit prophet, announces how long it will be until the world ends, he specifies it to the very second, and so the countdown begins to the end of the world. The plot device of this energetic race against the clock is keyed to the celestial timekeeper. This connection is what's being exploited in magic ritual. If you understand about theurgy and the practices of theurgists, you get it.
The following is a very helpful explanation about theurgy from the David Flynn Collection. The work within the doctrine of the Enneads would involve the hand of man in an act of the gods. The reward for the theurgist, then, was the understanding of the design of the gods and the wielding of power that flowed through him. Theurgy, or divine work, was thought to influence the gods. The theurgist believed man could move the gods to impart divine mysteries and even cause them to become manifest. Additionally, the theurgist sought to ascend into the presence of the gods by using symbols, signs, words, sounds, godly materials called serai, cords, chains, or processions, which united orders of beings with celestial bodies. A great chain of being. The practice of theurgy would only convey influence from the gods if the symbols and rituals used were taught by the gods. This is why Plato said, "Great power of geometric equality exists amongst both gods and men." The theurgic concept suggests that the use of anagrams, symbols and numbers by Pythagoras and his followers, expressed more than the mystery teachings of the Egyptians. The symbols were used to invoke daemons.
The moon is one of those celestial bodies that are central to the work of the theurgist. So when the countdown to the end of the world is keyed to the lunar cycle, that numbering pretty obviously becomes what's known as Sirae, which unites orders of beings with celestial bodies. In this matter, the producers of Donnie Darko demonstrate the practice of theurgy. They learn what to do from their gods, and this elevates them. But it has to be understood that by using the term elevate, this is from the perspective of those who align with the gods of the fallen nature and demonic realm. We already mentioned the TV show The Magicians for their exploitation of the messenger bunny as Hermes symbol. As we covered in some of our other video productions, that show featured an episode-spanning storyline where the status of the moon was directly tied to the end of the world. What's really interesting is that there was a critical time span involved, a countdown that required the magicians to reset time back far enough into the past to prevent the event that triggered the destruction. When you compare that to the plot of Donnie Darko, it's hard to dismiss the detailed parallel as a mere coincidence. We see two independent witnesses that bear testimony about a grand conspiracy that reaches into the supernatural realm. Theurgists abound, and each receives direction from their gods and perform their works and productions that expertly conceal and reveal the matters that are most critically important in our time.
About the meaningful numbering of the time, 28 days, 6 hours, 42 minutes, 12 seconds, the values of the units sum to 88. 28 plus 6 plus 42 plus 12 equal 88. This resonates with the setting of Donnie Darko in the year 1988. These are nested layers that both evoke code 88. This is a very familiar celestial code, and it's also a dimension transiting code, and these are very relevant in the context. With the time span resonating the celestial code, and the celestial body that is the moon, it's a potent combo. It's a well-known fact that the moon's motion over the course of a year actually traces out a figure 8 in the sky, a figure called the analemma. With code 88 as a dimension transiting code, given the plot features in Donnie Darko of crossings over from one space-time domain to another, that's really a potent feature.
As we wrap up this second installment, we're hoping this work of decoding is helping you see what you're looking at in Donnie Darko as well as elsewhere in your life. The Bible has a lot to say about the esoteric. For one example, Proverbs 20 verse 12, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made both of them." Occasionally, the words of others come to mind. "Signs and symbols rule the world, not words nor laws." Confucius. The psychological mechanism that transforms energy is the symbol. Carl Jung. When the human race learns to read the language of symbolism, a great veil will fall from the eyes of men. Manly P. Hall, Freemason. In another one or more installments, we plan to demonstrate how Donnie Darko fits easily within four of our other video series: Pizza Esoterica, the pairing of time travel with satellite programming in film and TV, Piano Janus Ritual Productions, and Piano Stargates in Media. Lord willing. God bless you, everybody. Bye-bye.